College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons. Heading into the 3 o'clock hour, no Fitzy today, Dan Ball in, and now Ted Johnson.
What's up, boys?
Looking like maybe he's ready for a fight in Roadhouse, or I don't know exactly what. I have fears.
Yeah?
Because he told us that sometimes the shirts tell the story of the mood he's in, and if they're like light and flowery, good mood, he's ready to go. What if they don't have sleeves and he's flexing?
Nobody puts Teddy in a corner.
Nobody. Just tell him. I like that this just provokes these kinds of reactions out of you guys.
It's not often that you do a radio show with a guy who comes in on a Harley with no sleeves on.
You know what? It's kind of a badass way to come into work, right?
How was the ride in? Was it nice on
Perfect.
The bike?
Awesome. Yeah. Amazing. You know?
I mean, you're running out of those days.
It's Storrow Drive. You just got to make sure. You know, I come westbound, right? So you're kind of, you got to make sure there's a lot of things to look at. And you got to make sure that you got keep your eyes on
focus.
The road.
Beautiful water, beautiful buildings.
Beautiful, yeah, that's what he was talking about. The water, the buildings,
beautiful
everything that trees.
Water. In about 2 weeks, it'll be really fun to look out at that water.
You know? All right, it is 3 o'clock. That means it's time for our 3-point stance.
319.
319.
319.
Yeah, there you go.
What's that?
It's the 3-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Pasternak, a hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone. A 3-run homer and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's 3-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or you're just intimidating the bejesus out of your coworkers, you got to get Glassman. Call Hall 7s at 617-777-7777. 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, three hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in the world of sports today. Our order today is Andy Hart, then myself, Dan Ball, and then Ted Johnson. Andy, you get 60 seconds that will be reinforced by Ted and his muscle today. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
All right, here you go.
So yesterday, when I did my 3-point stance, I didn't know it'd be a two-parter, but here we are. I said, watch the game, respect the game. I knew a lot of Patriots weren't going to play, but a lot of guys would be playing for jobs and memories and tape and all those things. What I didn't know is there was one person in particular that would take the spotlight and run with it. That was wide receiver Jeremiah Webb. Listen to his post-game reaction after the performance he put on last night.
A lot of fun, man. Like I said, man, I'm living out the dream. The odds that I done had to beat to get to where I am now, man, they've been slim to none. So just finally being able to get here and, like I say, show those where I come from that we could do this, man, I'm having a blast.
Jeremiah Webb had a nice touchdown late in the game. He had a long punt return. He was the guy I was talking about, even though I didn't know it was going to be him. Comes from Chicago, talking about proving to the neighborhood and the family and the people that we can make it. If you watched that on Patriots.com, huge smile when he's telling that story. Did a Lambeau leap after scoring the touchdown. Those are the guys that I'm talking about. Sure, it's great if you're a Giants fan. You had freaking Jackson Dart out there, and Jameis Winston, hell, was like your third-string quarterback. You got a 5,000-yard passer. But that third preseason game, that second half, Jeremiah Webb is the poster boy, the face of what I was talking about yesterday. That's a cool moment that he'll remember forever, even if he never plays in another NFL game. That's what last night was about.
I have one quick question, and then we can move to the topic. And you could—it's okay if you say yes. Do you like Jackson Dart more because it's one consonant away from Jackson Hart?
A little bit.
Okay,
it's kind of weird.
Yes,
it's like confusing in a way, and but yeah, it's interesting.
Okay.
Although hey dummy, you're the future of the franchise. What are you doing there? Now you're in the tent, and that whole quarterback situation for them, like, so they sit their starter, Russell Wilson,
sure,
who's a holdover.
Yeah.
They have a first-round pick that they roll out there.
We had a pretty good preseason.
Then they roll out a guy who threw for 5,000 yards a couple years ago. Then they throw out a guy who was the biggest name in football for like a week, right?
Yeah. Tommy Cutlass.
Tommy Cutlass.
Beat the Packers. I'll never forget it.
Did you hear what Will Fleming was saying about Jackson Dart's mom?
And you can't take your eyes off his mom.
That's what Will Fleming was saying.
Apparently,
about
Will had
mom.
The dual screens going on. He was watching the Patriots game while calling the game from Yankee Stadium.
When in New York, I guess.
But yeah, the Jeremiah Webb thing, like, that's just cool.
Yeah. Love him.
Like, he was so excited after that game.
Can I say he's my guy? He's my guy.
Sure.
It's the guy I've been telling you about.
Love him. I mean, he's got no shot to make the roster.
You go look at him and go, he looks like a small, undersized third down back.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like a receiver.
Right.
Yet he makes a ton of plays. So he was six catches, 80 yards, a touchdown, averaging 3.3 yards per catch is his production in the preseason, and he hardly played. So he might not have a role on this team, but he's going to get another opportunity.
Hope so.
Very soon if he is not. My guess is he'll be offered a shot on the practice squad, and that's probably the best he'll do right now. But my guess is there'll be a day when he actually plays in an NFL game.
Hope so. Rooting for him. I will also say the number doesn't do him any favors.
It throws him off.
You look like a running back.
Like you said,
third down. And you're like, wait, this guy's a wide receiver, and then he's going under catches. Yeah. So, but yeah, that was kind of cool.
By the way, to work yourself onto an NFL radar, 3 years at South Dakota and two at South Alabama.
Yeah.
Not
awesome.
Necessarily your football hotbeds.
And also seeing like the northern part of the country, the southern part of the country.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Wherever. He'll go wherever.
If you're a coach, does that matter to you?
No.
Doesn't matter where
he played? Wait, in a good way. Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't matter where he played?
No. I don't know if this is what you're at. It's a good thing to me. That's a guy. Because you often.
Is it a good thing?
Yes.
Ted, do you want to ask that question again?
Yeah,
does it matter?
Well, I thought he was saying, oh, he didn't play at USC, so he's not in the SEC. He didn't have good.
Nope,
no, it's the opposite. I think he loves football.
It's when you see a guy kind of bouncing around, you go, okay, well, what's wrong? He's bouncing around. Well, it also shows a guy that cares enough to want to pursue football that he will go wherever he's got to go to play.
From Chicago up north to the Dakotas, then back down south to Alabama to New England, and I guarantee if you called him, if he gets cut and Ted Johnson was the Seahawks director of player personnel and said, I need you here in 5 minutes, he'd be there in five minutes.
Yep.
That's how he's wired.
Yep.
100%. So interesting. We'll keep a loose eye on him and see what he becomes, because you never know. All right, Stiz, may I have 60 seconds, please?
Your 60 seconds begins right now.
All right, so Teddy and I are kind of aligned on where we want to go for our three-point stances. So I will start by introducing you to a guy who you may not know, and even if he did come to New England, you may not love, but I would identify as a massive upgrade over what the Patriots currently have at the left guard position. That is Dalton Risner, coming from the Minnesota Vikings, began his career with four seasons, played and started every game that he played with the Denver Broncos through 2022. Didn't have quite as much success in Minnesota, but was still a consistent starter up until injury last season. He is a free agent. He's visited with the Bengals. He's visited with the Seahawks. I see no reason why he shouldn't be visiting with the New England Patriots, and why, if you can get him in the building, I wouldn't necessarily want him to leave. He was graded as the 13th best pass blocking guard last season. Overall, again, his overall grade isn't fantastic, but I look at a left tackle that can run block really well and Will Campbell. If you can create a left side of your offensive line that has one guy that's strong in the run block and one guy that's strong in the pass blocking game, I think it would be an upgrade, especially when you compare it to the current plan of Wilson and Strange and Wallace and Bradbury. Those are the guys that haven't been cut yet. So compared to what you currently have at what is, for my money, the biggest hole on the offensive line, I think you got to give Dalton Risner a call, and I would see what you could do to keep him here for the season.
I'd sign off on that.
Smell that? Smells like desperation.
Well, I mean, yeah. Look at what you got. That's no disrespect to the guys that are there. I know you told Cole Strange a month ago that he was at a career crossroads, but you also, as much as we made fun of you, as much as we made fun of you for saying it, looking up and saying it to his face, you also weren't wrong in your thinking, and that's one of the better options, I say, with a question mark right now.
Right.
So I would absolutely be looking outside the building for help there.
And this is also something that is very common in football. I've often sort of disrespectfully joked over the years, you can always find a guard, because it seems like there's these teams that you watch a game and they're like, oh, they signed so-and-so on August 27th, and now he's started for three straight years at guard. Yeah. And he's been there like, guards get kind of lost in the shuffle sometimes, or disrespected, or, I mean, Joe Andruzzi back in your day just showed up out of nowhere, and all of a sudden Joe Andruzzi becomes a star.
Steven
as
Neal,
a guard.
You know,
like,
was wrestling before he became guard.
So normally I would say, oh, the guy's on the street for a reason, but guards sometimes go from the street to solid contributors to offensive lines for a reason, too.
Right.
And beggars can't be choosers.
That would be my argument. But, Ted, what do you think? Compared to what's in the building right now.
Yeah, I would be all for it because I think that left – it is an interesting – it's not like – say you needed a right guard. You don't. You got Mike Onwenu. It sounds like listening to him with his interview in the midday show today, which was cool – you know, he's playing right guard. He's not moving.
Right.
Because he didn't like being moved from right to left to tackle. So he's all right. It, now that you have a rookie left tackle and a young quarterback, it's like the left guard feels more important than what the right guard. I wish Mike Onwenu was playing left guard.
Yeah.
So now you got him playing next to a rookie who's playing next to a center who's his first time with a young quarterback. It just I would feel better. The fact that your left guard is an issue when you have a rookie left tackle, it kind of makes that position a little bit hairier. So absolutely, I would be. I think my feeling is, I liked Ben Brown's play in the second preseason game against the Giants. I mean, against the Vikings. So I think they're going to play Brent Brown, start him at left guard to start the season. If he stays there all season, I'd be shocked, but I think that's how they're going to start the season.
Okay, and that's an option, but kind of to your point, I'm just...
Did you hear how he said, and that's an option?
You know, it doesn't get you excited. I don't know.
It doesn't blow my skirt up, Ted. I'm sorry.
It does not blow your skirt up. I get it. But I think he's a better option than Jared Wilson.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, for a guy that's barely played left guard, I would absolutely agree with that. Yep. Or played in the league at all to this point.
I think ideally... Jared Wilson should probably be your center.
100%. All along, I've wanted this to somehow work out so Jared Wilson's your center, preferably between a couple veteran guards, and we're starting to paint a picture that might work.
But what's the problem with starting Jared Wilson at center right now?
His confidence, communication, McDaniel's system,
boom,
that
all
whole
of it.
Thing.
It just, it's the most advanced, it's one of the more advanced systems you have, and now you have a quarterback that's trying to learn it with a center that just got here. That's way too much to have in that situation.
And you argued as well. He was having trouble just snapping the ball at the beginning. But
there was some of that.
The one thing that kind of surprised me with all of that, I know they brought in Bradbury to be the center, but you had a whole camp to try to at least work on it a little bit for a guy whose natural position is center. You drafted the highest natural center in the draft to then move him to left guard immediately. Yeah. Like, why the impatience on an offensive line that seems to have one guy that's set and then four spots that were at least competitions to start?
What are they paying Bradbury? Is it enough to – that might have something to do with it. I'm just – you know,
It could.
Garrett Bradbury's contract. If it's a lot of money, they're probably like, well, shoot, we just signed this guy.
Yeah, I don't think it's a ton.
I'll give you 2 year, $9.5 million.
Yeah.
What do you get, guaranteed at signing?
He got guaranteed at signing $3.8 million.
Hey, you're not going to cut a guy.
No. He's on the team.
So he's on the team.
Absolutely.
Right. So he's playing.
He's on the team, and he's probably playing. And based on his experience and everything, he's probably theoretically one of your best five when you talk about experience and system. And the other thing with Jared Wilson is he only played 12 games in college, so there's relative inexperience there.
Sure.
And everything I've heard about them, not that this is a negative the other way, but everything I've heard is they love his athleticism. Everything is about his physical traits, his athleticism. I didn't hear smartest guy we've ever seen at a center. You know what I mean? So maybe that's an evolutionary thing where he needs to develop in McDaniel's system and learn the system. It can be difficult and all of that. So
yeah,
it's also, we saw the Mike Reese stat. Two guys on the same side, rookies, is once every 25 years, and it might not even be a good idea once every 25 years.
That's why originally I argued you go Campbell, Bradbury, Wilson, Onwenu, Moses. Right. So you have the veteran in between the two rookies. But they didn't want to listen, and what the hell do I know?
bet you that'd be one of the smaller offensive lines in the NFL.
Athletic.
It'd be athletic. Sure would. But
you're running fast as they run right by you. All right, Teddy, you ready to go?
I'm ready, man.
All right, here's 60 seconds. Go right ahead.
So a lot of talk about the offensive line. Obviously, the offensive line, to me, it's the make or break position group for the Patriots this year. If they will have success on offense, if the offensive line can hold up. And so far in training camp, it hasn't showed that it can. I was curious to see how the Patriots kind of draft that position, offensive line. over a 10-year period. And so I looked it up, and the Patriots drafted in the last 10 years, and I asked all you guys this question yesterday, what you thought, and I thought it would be a higher number. They've only drafted 9 guys in the last 10 years to play offensive line, all the positions on offensive line. Only 9 guys, and there was 3 years out of 10 where they didn't draft a lineman at all. And so that is on the low end of the NFL. In fact, by a huge margin, the Patriots draft a lineman on average 0.8 average lineman per draft per year, when the average NFL team is drafting linemen at 1.4, 1.5 a year. And so theoretically, my overall point is the Patriots should have 4 or 5 linemen on this that they've picked in drafts in the last 10 years that they never did. And that's partly the problem you see with this offensive line. They don't put emphasis in it. They haven't. And when they have missed big time.
Yeah, I mean, the only guy that was picked, counting back to 2019 and on, the only guy that was picked above the 3rd round was Strange. And that was a guy, as Sean McVay reacted, was supposed to be a 4th round pick. So you're also, even when you are picking him, you're not using any significant draft capital on him except for Cole Strange, which was, again, strange in of itself.
It's just so not even – they don't even average drafting 1 lineman a year. And that's, to me, is ridiculous when you consider how bad it's been a problem here for years. When you have a young quarterback, to me, invest in the offensive line. It's the best thing you can do. Look what it's done, you know, for my man up there in Philadelphia. It's a huge thing to have an offensive line to go along with your young quarterback.
So what is that? Is it hubris? Like, I can sign a guy off the scrap heap and make him better than any draft pick that I would make? Or is it just, if I don't want to use ignorance because that seems strong?
I mean,
but
it's philosophy. I mean, Dan Campbell believes in offensive line. Clearly, you know, Howie Roseman believes in an offensive line. Clearly, like there's some people that philosophically, if I was a head coach, that would be, you would know philosophically that Ted Johnson believes in having a dominating, nasty, big, massive, productive offensive line. That would be a core principle of mine. Some teams make it a priority. Some teams don't. I don't know why.
I wonder if this is a shift, though, because they did take an offensive lineman with the 4th overall pick this year, right? And then they took a 3rd round pick, so maybe this is a Mike Vrabel-led. He also is a former linebacker who probably believes in physicality in the trenches and some of those things. Also rode the running game in Tennessee with Derrick Henry and what they did down there. Took Taylor Lewan and others relatively high in the draft there with mixed success.
Sure,
they had that one guy they drafted in the 1st round that was a bust. I don't think he ever played in a single game for him.
Right, which is obviously going to be part of those are the perils. You're going to run into that.
Sure.
But I'd rather you overdraft to try to fill a need to show me that you're trying to fill a need. Because, Ted, to your point, you show me a good offensive line, I'm probably showing you a good offense in return more times than not. Yeah. Look at Houston. Year one of C.J. Stroud, he's fantastic. Year two, they can't protect him. I think he led the league in sacks or was close. And they're a shell of what they were. So it seems pretty A to B simplistic to me.
And also just look at, so Jim Harbaugh clearly believes in the offensive line. He already had a franchise tackle, and he took another franchise tackle with the 6th pick or whatever it was. Why? Probably in part because, I don't know, he's got Justin Herbert. He figures if he's going to pay him a boatload of money, he might as well protect him. Or look at the Bears. Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson is a, like, maniacal play caller guy, right? Schemer.
Yep.
First thing he does in Chicago is says, whoa, 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 we need a better offensive line if I'm going to be able to call any plays or draw any plays up or have any success. So some of the highly thought of coaches right now are clearly putting a lot of focus on the offensive line elsewhere. And the Patriots, again, the Patriots might be in that. If we include Jared Wilson in the 3rd round and the 4th overall pick, Will Campbell, maybe we've turned a corner here, and that's what Mike Vrabel's
New philosophy, hopefully.
Yeah. Mike Vrabel's Patriots believe in. Football Talk on WEEI is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Dan Ball, nice job with the triple duty today or whatever it is, doing the three-point stand.
Just a day in the office, fellas.
Big chair filling in for Fitzy. And up next, we'll continue to break down that preseason finale for the Patriots. Mike Vrabel was not happy with the way his team performed. We'll look at the matchups, if that had anything to do with it. Maybe their ones stopped playing twos, and maybe it was twos versus twos and threes versus threes, and maybe that's part of why they struggled. But the head coach wasn't all that happy. We also have some interesting veterans with some interesting reps. What does it all mean? We'll talk about that next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Do you feel good about where you are right now, physically, mentally?
I got a lot of work to do. A lot of room for improvement. So that's what I'm focused on.
WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart, Ted Johnson, Dan Ball sitting in for Nick Fitzy Stevens.
Hey.
Bills.
Oh, you know
no, go ahead. Keep going. Keep going.
Nope, we're done here.
Okay.
That was the voice of Kyle Duggar, not singing, the one that preceded the song, who had tied for a team high 6 tackles last night. 6 solo tackles in extended action.
I'd say.
Had an interception in the end zone. Thank you, Jameis Winston.
He was out there long enough to get 6 tackles.
He was.
Yeah.
And he said he's got a lot to work on. He does say elsewhere last night in some of his interviews talked about the scheme. Because if you remember Mike Vrabel a week ago or so, somebody said, what does he have to do to work back into the mix? And he's like, know where he's supposed to be, know what he's doing in this scheme.
Not that direct, but it was
close.
He was basically saying that.
And Duggar said, you know, the scheme is different. I'm learning. I'm trying to get back to playing at full speed, he said. Now, he didn't necessarily differentiate physical or mental full speed.
Right.
Right? Like
coming off an injury versus learning how and where to be.
It's a good way to word it.
Is ankle holding you back? Head holding you back? Combination of the two holding you back?
Yeah, he doesn't want you to think it's his head holding him back.
Right.
So, he's
so
not gonna say it for that reason.
But he was definitely out there for a long time. Definitely made some plays. As I said, a couple pass defenses, an interception, which was really a miscommunication between Winston and whoever his receiver was in the end zone.
Still an INT.
But it counts. So he's got a couple INTs in the end zone. So he's making some plays.
It doesn't mean as much the fact that it's coming from Jameis Winston, because that's pretty much what he does.
His way to another 30-30 season, if that's how he's throwing
the ball. Oh, well, he was perfect. You got the Jameis Winston experience.
That was
he comes in first play, drops a dime for a touchdown,
nuts.
Then throws a pick. That's the Jameis Winston experience.
Right. They got to trade him, right? I know this is a side topic, but wouldn't you think there's a team out there that could give a little something for him?
Kirk Herbstreit brought up teams have to be calling the Giants and looking at it like, you have more quarterbacks than we do.
I mean, they got 4 semi-legit. I mean,
they've
DeVito
all won
came
games.
In and balled.
Absolutely.
Yeah, DeVito won games last year, and Jameis, Jackson Dart, Jackson Dart was brilliant last night. What did Will Fleming say about Jackson Dart's mom there, Stiz?
Stiz, what did Will Fleming say?
You can't take your eyes off his mom.
Right, your eyes
I forgot
off
he
his
said
mom.
That.
I would not. To me, there's teams calling the Giants about their quarterback situation.
Just a quick side note, since you brought up Jackson Dart's mom, they interviewed her during the game.
Oh, yeah.
And
lucky us.
They did a joke or something about, like, sliding, and she did the... Oh, Dable will get that out of him. The way she just said Dable, not like Coach Dable or Brian. She goes, Dable will coach that out of him. Made me laugh.
Yeah, they're very comfortable. All right, you can tell Dable loves him some Jackson Dart. It was interesting. I saw an interaction between DeVito and Tommy DeVito and Jackson Dart. And Jackson Dart kind of just, to me, he looks, I bet you that's going to be an interesting, his personality I think is going to rub guys wrong.
Jackson Dart.
Yep. Yeah. There's a little something to his personality.
He rubs me wrong sometimes.
It's going to just wait. You know, this is a guy who's been told he's all that, and he thinks he's all that, and the head coach is fawning over him.
Mm-hmm.
So he feels like he has more power than he probably should. And so it's going to create problems down the road. Just mark my word on it.
Okay. So since we're down this road, real quick, what do we think of the one eye black thing that he does?
Play an NFL game first.
I don't really care for it.
Yeah.
I don't love it.
Not a huge fan.
Okay.
It's a bit of a hardo move.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Which normally I embrace.
Yeah, no, weird. I'm a little surprised by that.
And also, the guy with no sleeves should also embrace the hardo move.
Yeah. I feel like that's more a college move. I feel like the NFL might beat that out of him.
That's how I think. And yeah. So anyway, but let's get back to the Patriots. Kyle Duggar. Let's start there because he was out there. He was talking post-game. What do we think of his standing? Like, is he on the Patriots? Is he on the trade block? Is he on the Patriots if they can't trade him? If they can't trade him, is he cut? Where have we landed now? Is the Patriots are already making cuts. We're going down that road.
Right.
They've made 11 cuts. They're going to get down to 53 by Tuesday.
I'm sure he's on the trade block. I would think him and Anthony Jennings are both squarely front and center on the trade block for everybody to see. Jennings, because of the contract, I could see being more of an attractive trade piece where you could get something for him.
Yep.
I'm just not sure that teams are going to bite on Duggar enough to where you're going to end up moving him. So I'm kind of leaning, Ted, I think he makes the team. I think he, not to say that he's going to play a ton, especially at the beginning, while, as he admits, he continues to learn the new scheme and where to fit in, but I struggle to see them being willing to eat that kind of dead money for that player without any sample size in the regular season, seeing if he can learn the play style or not. So yeah, I think he's here for the time being.
I think they probably keep usually on average around five safeties. Mm-hmm. I think he's one of the top five safeties on this team.
Same.
So it's hard for me to justify, releasing him. And if they release him, it's because they didn't want to pay him the cash.
$9 million, right? $9 million salary, part of his $15 million cap hit.
Yeah.
The dead cap hit is around 14 and change, I believe. We had a texter ask that. You're paying, either way, you're probably paying him around $14 to $15 million on your books this year.
Yeah. And let me guys, so the first drive they went down, the Giants went down, ding, ding, boom, boom, boom,
mm-hmm.
and they score on a touchdown. It was a really, really nice little play design. I'm sure Brian Daboll was really excited about this because he put a guy in short motion that showed Jackson Dart that the Patriots were in man-to-man. They put the tight end, flexed him out a little bit up against Battle, 35. But Battle had a man-to-man, but with outside leverage because he knew he had middle-of-the-field safety. The middle-of-the-field safety wasn't even close to where the play where he should have been to help make a play on that. The outside guy is Battle is going to, right at the snap of the ball, position himself on the outside to force the guy inside to where his help is, and you're expecting help. You know who was playing middle of field safety?
I'm just going to guess. I'm going to throw it out. Duggar.
No.
Oh.
It was the rookie.
Where are we going here?
Craig Woodson.
Oh. Because they played him and Peppers more because they wanted to see how they played off of each other. And I guess there's your early answer.
And so if I'm Duggar, I'm watching this film and I'm like, all right, you guys want to put a rookie out there, huh?
The Eraser. That's his name. His nickname. Well, he erases everything.
Except for that touchdown.
Well, he erased the lead you could have had by giving up
a
touchdown.
So I'm just telling you, that on that play, would Kyle Duggar have not made that mistake? You know, he might be a step slower, but is he, you know, he's a six-year NFL veteran. That counts for something. Craig Woodson, who you're thinking of playing and keeping over Kyle Duggar, is still a rookie.
Right. So
who will make rookie mistakes?
The position. So it's Woodson, Peppers, Hawkins, Epps, and then you throw Schooler in the mix.
Oh yeah.
So that's your group that you're keeping without Duggar. I mean, you have potential. You have young guys who are growing and clearly kind of figuring it out on the fly. But is he really that much worse? Where you're not going to at least keep him in the room as a guy who can contribute?
Because
that's the bar. You're not talking about a all-pro safeties that he's competing with. It's young, unproven guys who could probably use a little bit of help from a veteran.
Where does it go? So where do you justify keeping Kyle Duggar? How can coaches justify keeping him? What is the next thing they would think of with Kyle Duggar?
Special teams.
There you go. Can he – if the younger guys, the Eppses and those guys are – making plays on special teams and Kyle Duggar isn't, then it's easier to justify letting him go.
Right.
Does Kyle Duggar give you anything on special teams? It would help make his case to stay on the team.
Yeah, no, he absolutely is a contributor on special teams. And I would even back up just a step further. What's the argument? Well, if you're putting together your best football team of 53 guys, he's on it. In your little world, Dan Ball. And we should mention 5:30. We're going to take a look at Dan Ball's initial roster projection that we're going to use as a leaping off point to kind of put together a afternoons.
Very rough.
Whatever. You're jumping up point. It's for me to just tear apart.
Wow, you're gonna tear Dan Ball apart?
Just rip it.
Look at how he's dressed. He's ready to tear anything apart right now.
He is ready. He's frothing at the mouth.
53-man roster.
But
you're gonna be amazed how many bad Patriots players there are.
What you just said is so true. And if you don't keep Duggar and you keep Peppers as sort of the bigger box safety guy, and then Peppers gets hurt, or Peppers does whatever Peppers do to make him miss time. That went a whole different way last year. He missed time last year for weird reasons.
He did.
If that happens, all of a sudden you're like, whoa, 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 what happened to our safety room?
Yeah.
Like, that's how Brendan Schooler could be on the field playing safety. I don't have a lot of confidence in those other guys as known commodities. In fact, I have no confidence in those other guys as known commodities.
You don't want all of a sudden it's Craig Woodson, a rookie, with, you know, these other guys, Del Pettis and Jalen Hawkins, who are in their second, third years.
Yeah.
Secondary.
I've come full circle on this because money is irrelevant to me. I look at your books and say, you have $59 million of cap space.
But you have to think how the Patriots think. Money is relevant to them.
Well, which one of the Patriots? Because I think Mike Vrabel should think, if he's what you tell me he is and what I think he is, Mike Vrabel wants the best 53 football players.
Yeah, but I think that only goes so far until you're eating millions of dollars of dead cap.
Okay.
I would think, right? I mean,
blame it on Elliott. I'm just trying to win football
games. They're going to do that.
I think that Kyle Duggar, if they keep him or cut him, is going to show you who has more power.
Interesting. Okay, that's an interesting
deal. We're going to use the fact, either he gets cut or he gets left on the roster as a barometer as to who has the real power over there in Foxborough.
If he stays, I'm assuming this is where you're going. It means Mike Vrabel has the power because he kept his best 53 football players, certainly his best defensive players, athletes, guys that can play special teams. If he goes, then it was a business maneuver through the Kraft/Wolf world of, we can't pay that guy $9 million to be a fourth safety, fifth safety, right? That's interesting. We'll keep an eye on that next Tuesday. If Duggar's here, it's a good move for Mike Vrabel and his power.
So we're aligned that he's here, right?
We are. We'll see where if he's.
I'm
going
to say he's not.
I
think they should keep him.
Yeah,
but I don't think they will.
Gotcha. Okay, for the purse strings reason we just discussed.
Correct.
Gotcha. Okay, interesting.
Yeah. I don't like purse string reasons. I don't like purse string reasons at all. Like the purse strings, what
shouldn't be a factor.
You have $60 million.
Oh really?
Yeah, you're making money. The NFL makes money hand over fist.
$10 billion. I don't know what your middle name is, but it's not AH that signs those checks. In the bottom,
easy
right
when it's not his purse.
Yeah, right, it's amazing.
Stiz, they get cut. What's the check you can Google from national TV? They get like $310 million right off the top. They just hand you that covers all your player expenses right off the top.
Yeah.
Before you sell a ticket, before you sell a beer or a popcorn. Or anything. Do they want to win?
$432 million.
It's way more than I thought. You get $432 million before you do anything because of the TV contract.
Do I got to remind you who spent the least amount of cash money in the last 32 years? What ownership group in the NFL?
You don't need
32 teams.
But I thought they wanted to win.
They want to win doing it their way and cheaply. That's how they want to win.
They want to have their cake and eat it too.
You could buy the Connecticut Sun with that money.
Clearance.
And have plenty of leftover to build a building for them to practice in and whatever the hell else you want to do. 617-779-7937. What were your thoughts on the Patriots preseason finale? Kyle Duggar, lots of reps. Is he on the roster? Is he off the roster? And does that say something about where the power lies in Foxborough based on that decision? Up next, we do need to touch on Mike Vrabel's post-game comments regarding another bust of a second-round pick in Jalen Polk. Will he be on the roster? Will he not be on the roster? Is he having surgery? Why do we know about it? I know one thing. Mike Vrabel's not happy. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
There was a report today that Jalen Polk will have to have season-ending shoulder surgery. Can you add anything to that?
No. I don't know, other than I'd like to find out where some of these come from. You know, some of these rats around here, so we'll figure that out.
Tell me how you really feel, Mike Vrabel.
That's a good line.
It's some insight into his leadership style, though.
But
What'd you think?
You know, he didn't just say, he could have said leaks or sources. He said rats.
And when you associate that term to what he's talking about, it's obviously a negative connotation.
Very, very, very negative.
Yeah.
Now, so that was post-game last night, and if you couldn't hear, the question was in regards to Jalen Polk and the reports that he was going to have season-ending shoulder surgery, would be on IR. Obviously, Jalen Polk's bigger story was disappointing rookie season, might get cut in his second season as a second-round pick. So that's the background to where we are. He had no update and wants to get rid of the rats around here.
The rats that what, though? The rats.
That whoever, wherever that report came from.
That fed it to Jordan Schultz, who then posted it yesterday.
Is the report not true?
Well, I think that's a fair question.
So when he says rats, he just, what is he not? What, how, that, to me, is a report that's going to get out. Like, what is there to not get out or worry about getting out?
Well, on the old show with Christian Arkin, we used to have a sniff test. This whole thing doesn't pass the sniff test. I told you, Ted, my initial reaction is they're saving face. He's not really hurt, or it's an injury he could have played through, and they're doing the surgery so that he can be on IR, so that then when they cut him, it's actually year three. Because you've said it, year two, second round pick is like historically bad.
Correct.
To cut a guy.
And just so the Patriots have never cut a guy.
Right.
Going into before the start of their second season that was drafted in the second round.
So you can't.
The first time they've ever done it, if they did.
You can't really crap all over Bill Belichick's drafting year after year, and even Robert Kraft's gotten into that. We've gotten in trouble drafting, haven't had good drafts, and then go out and do something that no matter how bad Bill was, he never did. You have to cut your second round pick. So I thought they were going to put him on IR potentially to just save face. Maybe the agent's involved. Maybe the information comes from the agent. The other thing that I thought about.
He wouldn't call the agent a rat.
Okay. Who would he call a rat?
He'd call.
You want me to say it or you want to say it? Ironically, it's a wolf that he calls a rat. That's what I would say. Like, if we think there's one guy who's here, who you seem to believe, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Why do you believe?
I like this theory.
Why do you believe Elliot Wolf is here?
Just to make sure that he's there to give cliff notes of every single meeting to Robert Kraft.
So does that smell like a rat? Sound like a rat?
Smells ratty to me.
Okay.
Smells a little ratty to me.
So Elliot, like, is, and we may be making too much of this. I mean, I fully embrace it. If you want to
get
the
like, only thing that makes sense. Like, is he calling out the players? No.
Right.
Who's he calling out? Is it one of the
doctor?
Whoever leaked it to the press, who would leak something like that to the press? Who has the most to gain?
Elliot Wolf.
Boom.
Why?
Because my receiver doesn't stink. He's hurt. He got a shoulder injury. That's been limiting him all summer. Or you would have seen the year two jump that would have made him worth the second round pick I used on him.
Vrabel can't get Elliot Wolf's draft picks out here fast enough.
Yeah, it's true. Very true. Anybody who has any ties to the old regime. The roster percentage was around 50% 2 months ago that Reese reported.
It's getting less and less. I mean, Duggar looks like he's on his way out. You got Cole Strange. I mean, first and second round draft picks
gone
are going to be gone here in about a day or two.
Yes.
So Elliot Wolf's drafts, I mean, anything he's had any of his fingerprints on are pretty much gone now.
So is this a bad sign?
Define bad.
Well, I mean, I guess you're right. If he just gets rid of Wolf and now we're all on one page and it's Cowden and Stretch and everybody kind of full speed ahead with one mind.
I think Wolf is almost gone no matter what.
Not under Ted's theory.
Not under Ted's theory.
If Wolf is working for Kraft, then only Kraft can get rid of him. And unless
he's not going anywhere.
The only way he goes somewhere is if the Patriots have a great year. This is my theory. This is just a working theory. If the Patriots go out and go 11-6 and make the playoffs and Mike Vrabel goes, okay, I proved to you I can do it.
Yeah,
now I want full power. Get rid of that guy. You don't need to have eyes and ears in my meetings.
He has to win. The only way Bill got all the power he did
is because
he won the Super Bowl in 2001.
Ding, ding, ding.
So win, and that's what gets you power.
Because otherwise, Vrabel can be unhappy. He can talk about rats in press conferences. He can do whatever he wants. And Robert,
I like that we fleshed that out.
We did.
You know what?
I mean, it could
rats,
all be
rats,
fake.
Rats. What is he? Who's he talking about? Who rat and what? What information that was probably going to get out there anyway?
Right.
Like, I think we broke it, man.
Like you believe there's a narc. You believe there's somebody inside the building that is not all. You know, we're not pulling the rope
in
the same direction.
Player,
right.
A player wouldn't know that information.
No.
So it narrows it down to what? Coaches and front office people.
Theoretically. I mean, I guess a doctor could be involved if a surgery was actually scheduled. I guess it could go through a doctor's office.
True.
Which, in my mind, isn't really a rat.
It's
like, if you had a source, a good reporter could, the secretary at the doctor's office who scheduled the surgery time could tell somebody and be like, that's good information. Is she a rat? No, yeah. She's just a source.
Yeah, it's not a rat. It's a HIPAA violation is what right, it is. Like, yeah, great, great, fantastic. Yeah, and kind of to your point, I mean, because of how many people Vrabel brought in around, above, and below him, there's only so many people who would not know to keep your mouth shut, who wouldn't be pulling in the same direction just because of the fact that it's kind of Wolf and Matt Groh. And then everybody else that's in line with Vrabel.
That is fair. That is very fair. We tend to fixate on Elliot Wolf. Matt Groh is still lingering.
Doing Matt Groh is still around. Thing.
So he could be a rat. He's yeah. from the previous regime. He has a long history here. He was in power, what was that, 3 drafts ago? The Tyquan Thornton draft, the Pierre Strong draft. That bad draft.
It is interesting. It's a way that you want to kind of send your message without being direct to those guys in the front office. That's a way to do it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's a kind of a, and I can see, you know what, it's almost a smooth kind of like Vrabel just going, I'm gonna say it like that's a rat. Like he was like not happy with it.
Oh, yeah.
It sends a strong message to, and so they will think twice before they do something like that again.
And I also want to continue to praise him for what I believe he is. He's smart. He's calculated. I think he says what he wants to say. I don't think he's a Gerard Mayo. I didn't really mean to use the word rat. Yeah. No. He thinks there's a rat.
Yep.
Like that's maybe, was he a little more honest than maybe he wanted to be? But like he believes there's a rat in the building. And I don't actually think that's a good thing for this organization if we haven't played a game yet and he's trying to sniff out rats.
It is interesting. And I think you're right. And maybe you hope it's not the first of if there's a lot of like little politicking behind because everyone wants to feel valued and like, especially to the owner.
Right.
Like that they're important, that what they do there is valuable. And so there's going to be little power plays that go on behind the scenes. This might be the first one that we kind of maybe it's made public. That's a public kind of thing that he is doing to the front office.
And if it's a power play between your two most important figureheads of the organization under ownership, which is Vrabel and Wolf, already in 2-3 weeks before the first week.
But that's Kraft's. That's what he does. If you're going to be here, Vrabel, you got to take my guy. That was the deal. And so that's just how Kraft is. He's got to have his guys on the inside.
Would he
Can
be
I pose
willing?
Another guy?
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, I don't really want to say this because I like this guy
Tom
a lot.
Tom Brady.
No.
Okay.
Is there one other person that some people don't necessarily believe was fully and wholly Mike Vrabel's hire? Maybe he runs the offense?
Josh?
Oh.
He's also involved with wide receivers and might have knowledge of different wide receiver things. And
okay, to what end, though? I don't know.
Okay. That's why I was... But I'm just saying, if we're kind of talking about people...
Who's not fully 100% Vrabel.
Right, right. Most people are Vrabel's guys.
Right. He's
brought
more the head coach of the offense.
Yeah, and...
Kraft's head coach of the offense.
Been here twice before.
Sure.
And lives down the street and has a good relationship with the owner and was doing documentaries last season during the year while he wasn't even a member of the organization.
That'd be way better if it's Elliot.
I agree. It's way better.
In our little dream world.
Just throwing things out there.
Yeah,
you just underplayed it. You said it's a... two figureheads butting heads.
Yeah.
If this is a power play, it's not between Wolf and Vrabel, in my opinion.
It's between Vrabel and Kraft.
Yes.
With Wolf.
So it's the two most important people in the organization right now.
Yeah.
Great.
The head coach, MVP of the offseason, and the owner.
That's this is going well.
That's a flex. That's a flex to the owner.
Absolutely. Well done. Well done, Mike Vrabel. We appreciate it. If anything, it's Friday content on the radio for WEEI Afternoons. 617-779-7937. What did you think of Mike Vrabel's rat comments yesterday, which came after other comments questioning reports that are out there around this team and people false reports, reading reports that weren't right, internet reports, AI reports, all of that. Mike Vrabel doesn't seem real happy with the reports surrounding his football team, and he may not be happy with his roster. Mike Vrabel talked about trying to improve the roster in the coming weeks. It's cutdowns, it's trades. We'll talk about that next here on WEEI Afternoons.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.